This morning I want to talk about motherhood. What does it mean to be a mother? Some of you will shed a tear. Others will be moved to maybe be a little bit kinder to your mom. Before we do that, I want to thank this church for all that you have gone through, meeting here, not in your building, and your generosity for building basically a new church. And the way that you have given, I praise God for that. We are looking at Memorial Day weekend being our weekend to celebrate our first Sabbath in our church. And I've told Mark that we're going to make this a ribbon cutting deal. It's going to be a big thing because we are going to dedicate this church to God. So your labors play a part in doing that. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Exodus chapter 2, the second chapter of Exodus. And what I want to talk to you about today has to do with Jochebed. Exodus chapter 2, beginning there in verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was, what does your Bible say? Oh, he was a beautiful boy. And not all children, by the way, are beautiful when they're little babies. Someone has said they all look alike, but they're not all beautiful. He was a beautiful child. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Oh, that says something about her, does it not? And then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the water, at the river. And they believed the river had healing properties. So she came down to bathe, and her maidens walked along with her. Generally, Pharaoh's wife or his daughter would be accompanied by a string of young ladies and even guards to protect her. They were not allowed at the river's bank, but they protected her. And her maidens walked along the river bank, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. She had compassion on him. Oh, that's beautiful. God moves the hand and the arm of the Philistines, the world, the unchurched people, and they have compassion upon the people of God. Isn't that wonderful? She had compassion. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Why? How did she know? Well, Pharaoh had said, cast the male children into the water, and Jochebed did as he said. The difference is she put him in an ark. And the word is the same word used for Noah's ark. It was covered with pitch, and this ark was covered with pitch. This little baby was in the ark of safety in the waters of uncertainty. And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. So the maidens went and called the child's mother. This is so interesting. Listen to this. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. What is a mother's wage? So the woman took the child. The mother took the child and nursed him, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 just for a moment. 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. You hear that again. He must have had something about him that stood out. The Bible says of David that he was a beautiful child. Solomon was a beautiful child. Absalom had long curly hair. Beautiful hair. He was a beautiful child. And it's kind of interesting when you read about Leah and Rachel. The Bible says of Rachel, she was beautiful. And of Leah, she had heavy eyes. That's interesting. The Bible takes note of characteristic traits about us. And by faith, verse 24, Moses, when he became of age, in other words, he could choose based upon the knowledge his mom had taught him, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, I would add, for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. It's an amazing story. Jochebed places Moses in an ark of safety. He's in the waters of uncertainty. What amazes me about this is how God worked things out. And you know what really stands out for me, my dear brothers and sisters, is that God, when he created this young man, made him special. Can you say the word special with me, please? Special. He was a special child. I don't know how many children you have, but there are some children that are special. They stand out. It's not because they're beautiful, but they stand out. Why? I do not know. But they are special. The Bible says in Exodus 2:6 that when she saw Moses, she had compassion. Miriam, seeing her compassion, seized the moment and said, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you?" "Yes, go," was the answer. So Miriam went to her mother with the good news. Guess what? You're going to nurse your own child. Jochebed, who would have the opportunity to not only feed, nourish, teach, and guide Moses, but he would also have the best teacher in the world. Talk about an amazing story. A key thought for me this morning is found in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 9. "Take the baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you," the King James says, "and I will give thee thy wages." What would be Jochebed's wages? What are a mother's wages? Abuse? Overwork, heartache, loss, discouragement, a child looking at you saying, "I do not want to walk the way you walk. I do not want to go to church. I'm not interested in spiritual things." That is your choice. It is not mine. I talked to a young 14-year-old boy one day, and he said to me, "I don't want to go to church." I asked why. He said, "Well, it's boring." And my response was, "You mean worshiping God is boring?" Well, you can't worship a God you've never met. That was his response. "I've never met God." And do you know how many young people have never met God? They travel their whole life, go through academy, college, they get married, and they've never met God. And so when it comes to a choice of a belief system, they don't care. "We'll choose yours, honey, or you choose mine. It doesn't make a difference." I want you to know something. When Jesus Christ created you, you are special. You are special. My grandfather, oh, bless it. And Viola Church, my grandmother, she looked like an Indian. She had more wrinkles in her face than a road map. One tooth that protruded, stained with cigarette smoke. The side of her face was yellow. Wrinkly, yellowed white hair from the years of nicotine. And she would come over to me, and she would say, "Oh, you're a good boy. You're a good boy." She was a sweetheart. I would say, "Grandma, can I comb your hair? Would you mind?" And I'd comb that white hair stained with yellow. And every time the comb went through those strands of hair, like Mama, I would smell and I would say, "That's Grandma." In her last hours, Grandma told the hospital in White River Junction, Vermont, to call me. And I went up, and there she was on one of those gurneys. And I walked up and I said, "Grandma, I'm so glad to see you." "Oh, son, I knew you'd come. I want you to have my funeral." You never claimed the belief system. But she profoundly affected my life forever. Who would ever dream that a kid without shoes, looking like a grubby little dirty-faced kid from a back lot somewhere, would be a preacher? I didn't think or dream it. What would her wages be? In our modern world, our way of life, mothers often receive these kinds of wages. abused verbally by their children. They work two jobs while emotionally burned out by giving to unthankful, unholy, undisciplined children. Try raising teenagers. I did. I remember one lady, she said, "We have the perfect child." I said, "How many do you have?" She said, "One." "Try two." I remember my daughter one day saying, "Dad, God spoke to my heart today." Oh, I just turned away and cried. What an awesome God. Mothers, listen, your children will one day understand, especially when they themselves become mothers and become fathers, once they marry, they will draw upon the benefits they receive from you. The wage will come back. You're not serving in vain. Look at Jochebed, the mother of Moses. If you have any doubt about the powers of motherhood, remember that Moses would have never been a biblical hero of the Exodus had it not been for Jochebed. So let me look at some characteristics of Jochebed and see how you feel. Faith. Listen to a house with a crying baby for 3 months with guards everywhere, and yet you hide this baby. When you look at the birth of your child, did you say that's no ordinary child? Dr. James Dobson said when his father looked at him, he said, "You're no ordinary child. You're special. You're not ordinary." Some mothers have children that they're far away from God and you're wondering if they'll ever come home. Please do not give up on your children. God has not given up on your children. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20 that Moses was born. He was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for in his mother's house. Listen, Jochebed had faith in the future through her son. She saw her son as a deliverer. She had faith when everything pointed to the end of the race. She had faith. Slavery, discouragement, doubt. And yet in spite of it, she had faith. Faith in her, listen to this, in her crazy world, she sought to place Moses in a place where she trusted him to God. Do you believe your children are gifts of faith? Do you see God's plan in each child? For a mother in our day to give birth to a son or a daughter, to be able to believe that he or she will see a better day ahead. You know, we've often said, "I want my children to have what? More than I had. I want them to have better things than I had." Well, my dream was for my son to go to Atlantic Union College. And that would not be. He did not. My daughter went to college, but not an Adventist school. She is now a leader in hospice of Arizona and a registered nurse doing well. And every morning we pray. I am so proud of what God is doing in her life and my son's life. Take your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it's a powerful scripture, 2 Timothy 1, 5. I want you to see the process God uses here. "When I call to remembrance," Paul's talking to Timothy, "the genuine faith that is in you," that is in you, Timothy, genuine faith. Life-saving faith. Faith that will save you at the end. Now listen. "When I recall this genuine faith, it dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded also it dwells in you." Well, why didn't it dwell in Timothy's father? Because his father was an unbeliever. Timothy came from a split home. He was a Greek. Grandmother, mother, and Timothy. So if you're a grandmother, you can share with your grandson or your granddaughter beautiful truths. Beautiful truths. Faith to withstand the evils of the day. It's going to take a faith like Eunice and Lois to believe that God can save our children. You know why? In some respects, raising children today is the hardest thing in the world. It is. It really is. You raise young children today and you think the sole responsibility of the salvation of your children depends on you. No, after 12 years old, peer pressure steps in. People they know. The ones they get involved with. So it's going to take faith. And secondly, it's going to take hope. Against all odds, Jochebed found hope. It welled up in her heart. Hope that her son Moses would not only be saved from Pharaoh's sword, but would be saved for a purpose. A man said to me Thursday night at prayer meeting, I don't know why I was born. I have no purpose. Think of it. What have you done in your life, and what purpose does God have for you? What are you doing with the gifts God has given you? I had a young girl, 12 years old, in South Salem. It's a very progressive church, but this girl is on fire for Christ, and she has it in her eyes, this born-again experience. She said, Pastor, I'm so excited. What can I do? And I asked her what she wanted to do. She said, I'm going to go downtown in Salem Sunday mornings when they run, and I'm going to pass out water. So here she is. She buys bottles of water from Costco and gives them out. And I said, what do you think of yourself? She said, oh, I'm going places. And by the way, she's Dale's daughter, the young man I mentored in Salem. And I baptized this girl. She's about 13 or 14 now. Oh, brilliant, brilliant. And she's going places. You determine your future. Did you know that? You determine that. God has a hope for you, not just faith, but hope. Imagine keeping before your child, the day you were born, you were special. I want you to do me a favor, if you would. Look at the person beside you and say, you were born to be special. You were born. Do you know I did that one day? And the lady came up to me in her 80s crying. And I asked her why. She said, for 80 plus years I've been at church and I've been in a family. Nobody ever told me I was special. And she cried and cried. She said, I am special. I said, in the eyes of God, you're special. Do you know after that day her whole countenance changed? Her whole life changed? She began to serve others. She began to step outside of herself because she saw herself in the care of God and special. Every godly mother must have a love that's submissive to the will of God. Jochebed technically carried out Pharaoh's edict, for she did throw her son in the river. Actually, she was casting him on the love of God. Cast your bread on the waters, and after many days it shall return unto you. Are you with me? The Bible says that waters represent nations, tongues, and people in Revelation 17 and 15. When we cast our children, they're among a sea, a multitude of people, and we hope and we pray that somehow something we have said will last on after they're gone from our immediate care. Are you with me? That it will stay with them and last on. Imagine telling your child, I love you, I love you. On the riverbank of the Nile, the love of a mother for her child and the love of God met and performed a miracle of salvation through this woman. Instrumentally, Jochebed played a key role. Bible says in 1 John 4:18, a perfect love casts out what? Fear. It's tough to have hope in a hopeless world. While I was putting this message together, I met at a laundromat a young girl named Kelly with three children, 3, 5, 12. She's in her second marriage, a single mother of three, struggling to survive. Listen, if I didn't know what the rest of the story is, I would give up myself. And I told her there's a better story. I told her the ending. Would you say amen to that? Oh, there's a better day. Yes. We are pilgrims. We pour our love out. And secondly, what about a mother's task? I can't even begin to name all the many functions of a mother. Wiping noses, scrubbing grimy little hands, tying shoelaces, applying psychology to the seat of understanding, serving as a social secretary, a timekeeper when fights erupt, which are numerous. Sometimes it takes a general. I remember fighting with my brother, and he hit me in the nose. How did he dare do that? In this beautiful nose. He smacked me so hard the blood came out of my nose. I said, why did you do that? And he said, because I felt like it. And the blood is running down my nose. And I yelled to mother, and mother came out. Oh yeah, he shaped up then. Mama said, you see that birch tree in back of the house? I want you to cut a switch for the seed of understanding. He cut a little one. Well, she used that up very quick, and she said, go cut another one, a little bigger. And here's my brother jumping and mama hitting him on the rear. He said, I won't do it anymore. I won't do it anymore. I won't do it anymore. He didn't do it anymore. Mother's task. Mothers are called to curb a child's lawlessness, and you have only a few short years to do that. So you better start now when they are young. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will what? Not depart from it. Yes, they may leave a while for a season. I believe you will be amazed at how many prodigals come home. I think the greater portion of people that come back to the church and take the place of those who leave are going to be children whose mom and dad may leave. There's a young girl in Phoenix. She attended Arizona Family Center for a while, and she would come at 10 years old. Her mother would drop her off, and I said, where's mom and dad? She said, oh, they won't come. I want them to come, but they won't come. And I talked to her some more. She said, I'm begging them. Oh, this is good news. Finally, mom and dad came. And they said to her on the way out, we're going to come back again, honey. This is good. And it was a little child. It took a child to lead them. Is that good? Mothers are called to cool the fevered brow. There's no touch like a mother's touch. I remember, and I know I shared this before with you, my granddaughter Ashley was near death. And she was in St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix. Jennifer was beside herself. I was crying, walking around the bed, and it was one of these great big oxygen tents that you could see in. And my daughter, this beautiful girl, crawled in with this little bundle of joy and laid beside her. Well, those beds aren't very big. They're not made for little, small people. Jennifer curled up around this little baby, and the doctor came in and said, I cannot believe my eyes. And she slept with the baby. And 2 or 3 days later, Ashley got better. The rest is history. She's slow. She's an honor student, but she's slow. And I pray for little Ashley every day. She sends little cards to Christine. Nana, Nana, I love you, Nana, XXXXX. And a few hearts thrown in for good measure. I love you. If anything happened to her, I would be heartbroken. I know some of you have gone through those kind of experiences. They're hard. They're hard on us. But we're going to see them again. And I told Jennifer, it's not this world. It is the future world. Eternity's coming, and we're going home with Jesus. And it's a matter of just a short time. That's all. Mothers are also called to point the way of God. There is in our church in Port Gibson, Mississippi, located on the main street in Port Gibson. The building itself is rather commonplace, with one exception. At the top, there is no cross. There is no steeple. There is a hand pointing toward heaven. Somebody sculptured a hand with the index finger pointing toward heaven. Mothers point toward heaven. Well, let me wind down with the mother's wage. Pharaoh's daughter said, I'll give you your wage. First, there's an early payment. Is motherhood worth it? Yes. There are times when you cry and you smile and you say the right things and it's worth it all. Jochebed must have said to herself, what an amazing God. What an amazing God. I look at Gary and I say, what an amazing God. Amen. This church has had miracle after miracle. Do you know that? It has. Sutherland is an incredible church. That's why if I were you, I would invite the doorkeeper, whoever you could see out there, bring them to church. Amen? Because God is present here. This morning we had the Potter family play for us down in Winston. And the young children filed by, they play musical instruments, violin and so on. And they said, thank you for the word of God. Young children, it was good to be here. What's your wage? What's my wage? I love to deliver the good news. What do mothers do? They deliver the good news. That's the early payment. Long-term payment, Jacob was not able to live long enough to see all that God would do for Moses. But God will one day repay Jacob for all she did for Moses. Oh, Jacob, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen? It will be worth it all when we see Christ. We are going to give you some flowers at the close of this service. Before we do that, there are so many things I wanted to share today that my way home from Winston, my way up here, getting in the car, dirtied my whole shirt, so I had to go home and change. And that's why I was late. My mind was rushing 1,000 miles an hour, and I'm thinking about you. And I prayed, oh God, use me this morning so that mothers could feel good about themselves and dads feel good about themselves. One day you're going to see the church flooded with people that mothers and dads have prayed for coming home. Yes, motherhood is a beautiful thing. Don't get discouraged. One day soon there'll be a grand reunion. I went with Dr. Lou last night and we had prayer for Willard. And we anointed him and I played guitar to him. Kind of interesting, wasn't that? And he said, oh, Gene would like to hear this. It was country gospel. And I couldn't help but think, and I put that CD in, God still moves. We have miracles to attest to that today. God still moves. We're going to pass some flowers out. If we have children here, if you'd like to come up and help us, please do that. And then we're going to have our closing prayer. But this is beautiful. Yes, all you children, come on up and help with these beautiful flowers. Oh, look at that. Aren't these beautiful? These are beautiful roses. Look at that. Oh, handsome little boy. He's going to help deliver that rose.
Come on,
yes.
Big kids, too.
Yes, big kids, too. If you're a large kid, come on up and help here.
If your mother is here today,
yes.
There you are.
That's a good girl. Thank you. Very, very good. We want to make sure that every lady here receives a flower. Maybe you're here, you don't have any children. It doesn't take having children to be a mother. You can mother somebody else's children. We want to make sure everyone has one. You're holding a rose because you're the rose yourself. And your labor is like fragrance with people around you. So I want to pray in closing that God will bless you and keep you, lay his hand upon you, and be gracious to you. That's what my prayer is. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being present with us today. You are blessing this church beyond measure. And I really believe, dear God, I believe in my heart that you have greater plans for this church than we could dream of. Bless us. Be with the mothers today as we celebrate this weekend, a day set aside for mothers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.